Well, hello, friends. Mark DeMatteo coming at you all with a brand new message going out to my Great Questions group on this second day, officially now, I guess, of October 2015. Message number 44 coming at you this time. And the title is Considering Time Part 1. Considering Time Part 1. Examining the third core component of the cosmos. And folks, just as we get started, let me just, as I usually do, say a quick welcome to those of you that have joined us since our last message. We've had quite a number of you join us. And so I want to say welcome to you all, and to also remind you that these messages are a chronology. These messages are in an ordered sequence. The previous ones build on each other and will bring context to what we're talking about here, build a foundation for it. So if you have not heard them, they are all posted and they're all available at my website, which is markdematteo.com. My first and last name run all together, .com, markdematteo.com. Okay, so having said that, are you all ready? Because I am. And so here we go. Let's get into this message, because as usual, I'm excited about sharing this with you. Folks, at this point in my journey, I now began to consider the third and final fundamental building block of this universal reality we exist in, which, of course, is time. I purposefully chose to save this one for last, as it is perhaps the most unique. Time is no doubt the most abstract of the three, and it is also probably the most extraordinary and fascinating. And though more intangible, I knew this core cosmic component needed to be accounted for too, for I knew that my continued search for honest answers to the great questions had to also include the topic of the origin and continued existence of time. Bearing this point out, even the Big Bang Theory proponents further conjecture that their hypothetical primordial explosion must have also somehow given rise to time as well, for they too all likewise know that it also had to have come from somewhere. So though somewhat more vague and elusive than its two fellow cosmic constituents, I still wanted to take a simple objective look, once again, at the real world operating around me and see what it might be telling me about this remarkable component of time, along with any possible rational explanation for its potential origin. However, the good news was, at this point, I knew I was no longer starting from scratch. Rather, as I set out, I was excited to realize that I was now beginning, having been already equipped with everything I had learned so far on my journey. For as I previously shared, my prior studies of both matter and space, in light of the laws of my X-frame, had provided me with sound logical observations and conclusions that began to create a clear and compelling theme which was suddenly becoming evident to me everywhere else I looked. And this was the reality that there must indeed be the existence of a mind, a someone, not a something, and moreover, a someone of an inconceivably vast scale with virtually limitless capability in order to have a reasonable, adequate cause for the overall construct and function of the cosmos. This was borne out clearly to me by my study of the atom, augmented by my study of space, and even as I began, sensed that it would, in all likelihood, also apply to this unique component of time as well. So, let's take a brief and basic look at time, and I'll share with you some things about it that seemed quite obvious to me. And as I do, I think you'll probably relate. For though extraordinary, on an elementary level, time is something we all live in, moment by moment, and consequently know quite well. Therefore, to begin with, what exactly is time? Well, folks, though a literal definition has been said to be somewhat elusive, time can be defined as a duration in which things happen or a precise instant that something happens. Time is also an observed phenomenon, a continuum, a perceived perpetual flow in which all events occur in a gradual, measurable, apparently irreversible succession from the future through the present and into the past. Keying in then on these definitions, what are some things we do know about time? First, time is a universal condition we all live in. All things happen in time. So far as we know, time exists in all places and everything exists in time. No matter where we go in the cosmos, time is there. We cannot escape it. It is ubiquitous. In other words, everywhere, right? Time also moves. It does not stand still. It moves and moves constantly. It has a flow, a progression, seemingly an energy or force that somehow keeps it going. It has been likened to a river, in fact, a vast, seemingly unstoppable river, ever moving onward and continuously carrying everything in the cosmos along with it. Furthermore, time's movement is constant. It is at the same rate all the time. Pun not intended, but acknowledged. After I wrote that, I saw it. So anyway, it has been said that time is relative. And indeed, most of us have had experiences when time seemed to move faster or slower. But this is only due to our perception based on the circumstances we were involved in at that instant. The reality is the speed at which time actually passes always stays the same. As such, it is also measurable. Because the rate at which time passes is constant, we have been able to create a variety of devices that enable us to track, that enable us to keep track of exactly how much of it is going by. Thereby, we are able to order our clocks, our calendars, our lives, and societies according to this set rate. This would be impossible to do if the speed of time's movement were erratic. And wouldn't we be living in an altered and chaotic reality if that were the case? Additionally, the flow of time is also unidirectional or linear. In other words, it apparently moves in one direction only. It steadily proceeds from the future, through the present, and into the past, and as far as we've ever observed, the direction of time's movement has never been altered or reversed. With this in mind, it could also be said that time has a basic structure consisting of its own three primary parts we just referred to, the future, the present, and the past. Now, furthermore, though time is perhaps the most intangible of the three cosmic components, it is nonetheless still a real, continuing, structured phenomenon. Therefore, I knew it must also be considered a construct. For not only does it include all these various definitive aspects we have just discussed, but additionally, I have often heard terms like, quote, the fabric of time, or the mechanics of time, or the power of time, all of which point to the fact that though maybe the least understood of the three, time was still indeed a unique type of ordered construct. And so here again, as in the case of matter and space, I knew that the existence of time required an adequate cause. Therefore, it seemed logical to me to assume that those same four conditions had to be adequately met in order to have any reasonable explanation for the origin and continued existence of time. As such, there initially had to be some kind of plans. And here, once again, there must have been a mind behind those plans. A mind, a someone, which had the capability to not only come up with the idea of time in the first place, but then to create the blueprints for its construction and then the procedure for its continued operation. Next, this someone must have had access to some kind of power, of a nature and an order and a degree of magnitude which would appear to be truly beyond our understanding. Then there had to be some type of process that this someone was capable of using in order to properly integrate this power, according to these plans, to produce the parts for the coordinated assembly and then the commencement and finally the continued operation of time on a scale that now encompasses the entire cosmos. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I even begin to understand what these parts and plans and power and processes really are or how they work. And based on my research, I think it's safe to say that probably no one else really does either. But in light of the laws that I now knew operated in the universe, the fact that time does exist indicates that those four conditions, those four P factors, as we've referred to them, somehow have been properly met. And consequently, because they have, on the scale that they have, pointed me to the reality that not only is time a manufactured article, but also, once again, to a manufacturer of extraordinary capacity. Therefore, the clear and simple evidence I had found from my basic study of time led me right back to where I had sensed it probably would at the outset, to the same someone who was responsible for the manufacture and maintenance of the other two core components of the cosmos. So, folks, the bottom line was, at this point in my journey, I was quite pleased. For I've already indicated on a number of occasions throughout the course of these messages that I was personally hoping to find sound evidence that pointed to the existence of God. And as I briefly considered each of these three cosmic constructs in the rational light of the laws of my X-frame, each consistently pointed to an adequate cause that must indeed be a someone, and a someone of such magnitude that we can reasonably call them God. So then, summarizing succinctly, my great question studies showed that science clearly stipulates that there is indeed a creator behind the cosmos. And gang, this was immensely gratifying to me. For as I've also previously shared, the reason I wanted to find evidence that God was there was I was looking for hope. And not just a make-believe hope, but a justifiable hope, one that was based on something real. And in this case, it was based on someone real. Knowing that there truly was a God who was responsible for the cosmos means that there is probably a purpose behind it too, which suddenly gives this existence the chance at a real meaning. Now, I still had many questions, of course. Like, for instance, since I now knew that God was there, why then has he? And I was assuming for the moment that God was a he. Why then has he allowed this world to get as messed up as it apparently is? For while there is certainly a lot of good in it, there is at the same time no doubt a bunch of bad in it too. This is indeed so true, and such a strange inconsistency and blatant contrast that it almost seems to be yet another perplexing paradox. Getting myself a little tongue-tied here. Furthermore, there is also a substantial amount of limitation and inadequacy woven into this existence. And we've also referred to this reality often throughout the course of these messages. So much so, in fact, that it almost seems like we could say that we live in a world that has been somehow wounded, right? Y'all get the sense of that too? However, having now proof of a cosmic creator meant that there probably was a reason why it was so, and perhaps only so presently. for it also opened up the legitimate and moreover tantalizing possibility that perhaps the current conditions of this present existence were not to continue indefinitely. For it also naturally implies that certainly the certainty that he is more than capable of not only, quote, straightening things out anytime he chose to, but of also actually fixing them if he so desired. This was far more comforting to me than the belief that our universe and everything in it, including you and me, was just one big random accident, and that the best we could look forward to was just a few more years in this wounded world, and then we are going to die, and eventually so will everyone else, and ultimately so will everything else, for it all will inevitably finally succumb to the second law, the law of decay. Furthermore, it means that there is truly a cause that is completely adequate for even the genuine possibility of a far better future reality. In fact, truly, what kind of an enhanced reality could he create if he actually decided to do so? After all, we're dealing with a someone, a creator, of an astounding capacity. Just how astounding has continued to unfold before me throughout the course of my journey. Prior to my study of our three-part cosmos, I had never really considered the specific characteristics of this tri-universe, this matter, space, and time reality we live in, on any significant level. However, as I examined and then carefully reflected on each, I became far more aware of their inherent nature than I ever had before, and that awareness brought me an increased perspective regarding the extreme scope of this Creator. Some of this awareness I have already passed on to you in our previous messages, but in the moments we have remaining in this one, let me share with you a few additional thoughts and insights that brought me an even further appreciation for the immense magnitude of this manufacturer. For consider with me the fact that even in our modern 21st century, or let me say this, with all of our modern 21st century advancement in science and technology, we still don't even begin to fully comprehend this fundamental reality we exist in day by day. Think about this for a moment. Take matter, for instance. While we certainly have a basic comprehension of the structure and operation of the atom, much of it is still a mystery. The sizes are so small, the pieces so unusual, and the forces and speeds so great that significant aspects regarding its nature and function continue to remain beyond our understanding. And although matter is by far the most tangible of the three components, and we can manipulate atoms and things made out of atoms to a significant degree, we can only work with the basic pieces and structures that are already here. We would have no idea how to design and build and maintain some completely new kind of atom. Furthermore, it would seem that we would be prohibited from doing so, even if we somehow had the capability. For while we do know that matter and energy are interchangeable, we also now know that the total amount of both cannot be altered, which, if you will recall, is the first law, the law of conservation. Therefore, it seems that the very possibility of our ever adding to or subtracting from the total amount of matter and energy already existing in the cosmos is essentially an impossibility. Additionally, we are made of matter, and it is all around us, so it confines and surrounds us. We cannot escape it. And isn't it amazing to think that we are made up of incredibly tiny, highly ordered, constantly moving particles, which we don't even begin to fully understand. Then let's consider space in this context, for we understand it even less. Though we can describe its three dimensions, and it is, in and of itself, a construct, Its p-factor components are even more a mystery than those of the atom. And space seems to completely elude any attempt at our control, as we apparently have no ability to manipulate it at all. Furthermore, we are also unable to alter it in any way, and the total amount of space currently in the cosmos is constant. Yet here again, we are nonetheless confined in space and trapped within its limits. In fact, if you'll recall our little series on this topic, we are held dramatically space-bound on three very significant levels. Finally, let's quickly consider this extraordinary phenomenon of time from this perspective. For it, too, is no doubt a component we truly only vaguely understand, and of the three, perhaps the least of all. And here also, we seemingly have absolutely zero control over its existence. For we cannot change any given quantity of it that passes by, nor in any way alter the rate at which it does so. Furthermore, it appears quite certain that we have no ability to increase or decrease the overall amount of time there has been in the past or will be in the future. Finally, it is in this unique realm of time that we are perhaps the most confined and limited of all. So much so, in fact, folks, that considering this condition of being time-bound will be the topic of our next message. But as we wrap up this one, let me just conclude by sharing with you the following. Folks, I found it remarkable and fascinating that this core cosmic construct, while no doubt real and something we experience and can easily identify and classify, is yet still a reality we only barely understand, have only limited or absolutely no control over, cannot make any amount more of or less of, and certainly cannot escape, for we are all trapped within its confines. It was therefore quite compelling to me to realize that not only did the evidence point to the reality of a manufacturer who had indeed created this cosmos, but to one who had also done so in such a manner that even its fundamental nature still defies our complete understanding. And what's even more extraordinary is that all these facts, by implication, also pointed to a creator who must truly transcend this cosmos. For the adequate cause for this space-mass-time reality must likewise truly be a someone who is indeed actually outside of space, and also literally beyond time, and furthermore, of even greater power than all that is now operating within this universe. Therefore, gang, at this point in my journey, I had found more than adequate evidence for a cause to legitimately justify the possibility of something I have always hoped for and have referred to repeatedly throughout the course of these messages, and that is a future reality far greater than the one we are now living in. Why were you hoping for this, Mark? Well, I trust if anyone is actually asking that question, it is only rhetorical, for it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there are obviously many things wrong with this present wounded world. I've already shared some of these limitations that seem quite apparent to me just in regard to the first two cosmic components. Now that we've taken a look at the third, we'll also consider some of the limitations imposed on us by this condition of time, which will no doubt add an even finer point to the validity of the significant and inadequacies of this current existence. So, we will plan to do this in our next message. And until then, gang, this is Marcus D. signing off and wishing you all another wonder-filled day. Take care now. Bye-bye.